Wow, you really are wonderful people. You're even willing to suffer by watching some young punk up here preach instead of good old Pastor Fred. No, but you really are blessings in this church and out in this world. For instance, we have Carol McAdams. She goes out of her way each first Sunday of the month to stock her car full of goods, to donate food, all that wonderful stuff. Drives carefully, at least I hope, I think she does, drive carefully on her particularly planned route to church to donate all sorts of good things. Wonderful work for the kingdom of God, just as she planned. But what if one day a car smashes into hers during her route because that driver wanted to be in a street race? Fortunately, Carol's okay, but the car's wrecked, the food spilled all over the side of the road. Squeeze every last penny out of their insurance policy. Make them rot in the Allegheny County Jail. Get more money out of their own pocket if possible. Never invite them to church. And maybe that money is enough for her to buy a new 2026 lifted Ram truck to store even more good food stuffs. Perhaps some of you bought toilet paper for an elderly homebound neighbor during the pandemic. And to avoid an empty-handed trip for them, you went to Giant Eagle at 6 a.m., arrived at the store at 7 at opening, you rushed to the right aisle, and some cocky, dumb teenagers stuff all 20-plus bags into their carts, pointing and laughing at you before they run away. Does that mean, sure, justice needs to be involved, but does that mean you just forsake everyone that does you harm? Just go to your neighbor and say, hey, I'm going to teach you how to shop online. Do it yourself. I'm done. You can do it on your own. Have somebody else shop for you. I mean, we desperately want to rid this world of evil. Famine, cruelty, adultery, war. Man, it's even in our gospel. An enemy has done this evil. An enemy has sown this. Satan seeks to pull us down and crush even further this already broken world. Now, some of you are gardeners. I like to garden. I like to help my dad garden. I especially love onions and tomatoes. Now, let's say one day you have little seeds, little nubs, quickly growing into beautiful, hardy green sprouts. You've already checked the soil, fertilized it, planted the sprout or sown the seed, watered it, exposed it to sunlight, and it begins to grow exciting before you even expected it to. You go to bed happy right before you fall asleep, looking at the products of your labor so far in the garden, and just fall asleep. Yet, as we know, the Bible is ripe with gardening parables, and all these parables are not that peachy. Otherwise, I would have mentioned peach trees as something I was willing to grow and enjoy growing. No, these parables filled with conflict and judgment, and these gardening ones are no different. And before you know it, you wake up and look out the window. Everywhere, big, beautiful weeds. Not just big ones, ones with thick thorns on them that grow at least 3 feet tall. Some small ones in tough cracks that you need special trowels or tweezers, whatever other tool or even your hands to pick out one at a time. Really annoying. And at this point, you're probably stomping your feet to the shed. Go grab a pair of gloves. Oh, wait, this one's tattered. All right, grab this one. Oh, this one's too small. Okay, now there's this one finally. Yeah, this one's like 20 years old, and it's probably going to rip the next time I use it after this. But it's still useful work for plants. But we as people, we're a little bit different. We're a little bit different than plants. And here I invite you to make a critical distinction, a personal preference, if you will. Would you rather have all the weeds, all the problems in your life gone, everything in your life perfectly working for you according to your plans as you still follow God? Or would you rather have ripe, abundant produce, doing as much for this world as God lets you as possible, and produce as many healthy seeds to save for next spring for the good of this world? Oftentimes, we want to have it all. No problems, no obstacles. Our plan holds through. We follow God's commandments when things are clear for us, convenient for us. We fit them around our finger. We don't have to show them to the world. We're supposed to be humble, but we still wrap God's commandments and will around our finger as long as it goes according to our plan, what we really desire, what we want for our lives. But we see here in this lesson in Isaiah that the Israelites want to have things go their own way. Now, at this point, they're not the prosperous kingdom about, say, 3,000 years ago during the golden reign of King David and his sons. No, the Israelites are in exile surrounded by enemies, either being enslaved or straight out murdered. Entire families wiped out. But even then, as we read in this lesson, God is eternal. God's plan is eternal, perfect. His ways are perfect. And with that knowledge, saying to the Israelites, instead of your plan, just endure. Endure your invaders. But most importantly, trust me. Trust the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of slavery. Yeah, this looks horrible right now. Trust me. And yes, unfortunately to us, God worked through us and our enemies. Now I want to emphasize, God did not plant evil in this world. Again, God did not plant any sort of evil or wrongdoing in this world. In Genesis, it repeatedly says God saw that it was good. God saw that it was good what he had created. God saw it was good. But God uses those nasty people in our lives. He lets the one who puts you down at work, or that nebby neighbor stick around who act like they have the perfect family, invite everyone over for their lush, wonderful dinners, try to make you feel bad. Make you feel inhospitable. But God allows all of this to grow you. Look back to what Pastor Fred preached last Sunday. The soil of our hearts, what is nearest and most cherished by ourselves, determine whether we nurture and let the word of God we receive, to let it, as we sing in the gospel acclamation, burn like fire within us. And at first it goes great. This word ignites our priorities, our desire to follow God, to care for the least of these in this world, and to see what really matters in life to serve God's kingdom. But soon enough, Satan, then, after the plants have already sprung, has the weeds. Satan, the world, our own flesh, put the cares of this world into our emotions, our brains, our very anxieties. We care more about what people say and achieving our own goals that are only temporary. Many of you have been to hospitals. I'm doing my CPE in one. It's tough to see a lot of people realizing they're facing their own mortality, and that's a harsh reality of this world. We're only here for but a moment. But even so, these forces against God are there to choke God out of us, to choke the love and obedience to God out of us. That's how cruel, how terrible it seems like. We have these weeds, these selfish politicians and leaders, our own haughty rivals, even our own competing plans for our lives. These are still allowed by God? Does God just like teasing us when we try to follow him? Just making fools out of us, just to see how much we can take? By no means. By no means. God does this so we don't wither up. He allows evil to show the genuineness of our faith, that we are unperturbed by the pain of life, growing deeper roots ourselves into true peace, true love, God's covenants and commands, and God's promises. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm inviting you to shoot the messenger for once. Sometimes we need tough love to grow up, even as mature Christians. God will prune you. He will make you sit in this discomfort, and suffering, the evil of this world, your own mistakes, and just let you sit with that in this sinful world. But God doesn't keep you there forever. God's preparing you to be stronger, wiser, fit for God's kingdom, so you may reflect His glory now and forever. To know the simple meaning of life and that loss and the pain of this life that even our dear Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, endured, is absolutely nothing compared to the eternal glory shown to you through Christ, who gives you a crown of glory for bearing your cross. That love and peace we will all share now as a community of believers through the kingdom of heaven and a new earth that we look forward to makes the cost of following Christ seem like a really good steal in the grand scheme of things. More worth it than a 20-cent perfect engagement ring for the love of your life. More worth it than a 10-cent cost to make your son or daughter's, your child's best day ever happen. It is more worth it than that. And as we read in the lesson from the book of Romans, this garbage is not even worth comparing to the eternal glory that is shown to us through Christ for those of us that endure and abound in hope. Christ really does say, His yoke is easy and His burden is light. The world and people who hate Christ may make life seem harsh for a Christian, but any hostility towards us is only like a water balloon thrown at us. That would sound nice right now. When we live in the promise of forgiveness and eternal life, God does not remove problems from your life, not always. And God does not refuse to interfere with your plans just so that your walk with God is manageable, comfortable. No. We are in the season of Pentecost, people. Amen. Come on, amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
We are meant to grow in the good soil of God's word so we can grow deeper roots. We can be afflicted at the surface by the superficial concerns of life, but our roots, our spirit, our actions, our hearts cling to God so that we are fruit-bearing people no matter what. If you've ever read the Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis, there's a demon that writes to his nephew, a demon in training, who's a tasked with tormenting a man living during the hardships in England during World War II. He writes to his demon nephew, Don't ever let this man think this. Do not ever let this man think that this is temporary. Do not let this man think that God is with him. Don't let him think these things or else he will keep enduring. Guys, God is for us. God is for us. It won't last forever, this suffering. This pain. There's good in life and there's evil. But the one who endures in hope will have eternal life and perfection. And one last thing for you all to consider. Many of you were told to pick your friends wisely. Not pick your friends' noses, come on. But pick your friends wisely. And I guess what I'm getting at more clearly is, be surrounded by good company. I hope you were told that. If not, I'm letting you know now. If we endure harsh weather and adversity from the weeds, the problems, the annoyances in our lives, others in God's garden take notice. They repent from their own ways. And inspired by the Christ they see in us, they become stronger fruit-bearing plants upon whom we can lean on, and they may lean on us. The weeds will still be there, but God and the fruit-bearing company of us gathered believers will sustain us to life everlasting, even if we have to deal with pesky teenagers, annoying neighbors, even just horrible, evil people in our lives. If we have that company of us believers, of us lovers of God together, we can encourage each other even through hell. to make it to a greater state of growth and to abound in Christ forevermore. May you keep your hearts and minds on Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and on God and God our Father, and be renewed by the power of the Holy Spirit. May God be with you always, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.